Same as all the others. No sign of a struggle, no bones or blood.
We're shark bait, every single one of us, stuck in the ocean, waiting.
Until the wind changes.
What's that?
It's a creature's return.
Yo ho ho! Or does nobody actually say that?
And remember, Katrina, you must call me Doctor.
Have you ever thought what it's like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension? To be exiles?
This is the Doctor speaking. Well, one of them. Is there anybody there?
I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them.
And their leader was called?
The Doctor.
Are you trying to tell us that you are the Doctor?
That's right. I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow so the TARDIS would be free of the force field.
You may be a Doctor, but I'm the Doctor. The definite article, you might say. Would you like a jelly baby?
I'm a Time Lord.
I'm the Doctor. Or will be if this regeneration works out. And it seems on a moment too soon.
How do you do? I'm the Doctor.
I am the Doctor!
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life!
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the Doctor.
I'm Aldi.
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
Both eyes are cool.
It's a fez. I wear a fez now. Fezzes are cool.
Silence will fall.
Diligath, everyone. This is the TARDIS Blend. My name is Greg Davies, also known as CGT2099.
And I'm Tom Cheridar.
And we're hanging out. This is always hanging out at geeksofdoom.com, doing our roundup review of the latest episode of Doctor Who, Series 6. This week's episode, The Curse of the Black Spot, sees the Doctor and companions going on a pirate adventure. And at this point, I'm going to hand it over to Tom. Tom, what do you think, mate?
I think that was a mighty sexy green and sometimes red floating siren that we get to see.
Okay, aside from the amazing Lily Cole, who was just beautiful, I will agree with you there. what did you think of the entire episode?
Oh, it was better than last season's episode 3. I thought it was a... felt too much like a filler piece, you know?
Yeah. This was crap.
Yeah.
This was crap. I really didn't enjoy this. Well, I did, but see, here's the thing. It's this is what I put it down to. Like, Steve Thompson, who's the writer on this, he worked with Moffat on Sherlock. This is his first Doctor Who. And I think the writing was quite nice. Yeah. What we had was a potentially wonderful story ruined by two things. And the first thing is the horrible pacing and editing. That was awful on the technical side of thing. Story-wise, the second thing that ruined the episode was Rory's fucking Kenny impersonation.
Yeah.
I'm getting sick and tired of this whole Rory's dying nearly every second episode kind of
thing. Not just that, but like I really did not like the dramatic pause that they waited just to revive him. It's like, we know he's going to stay alive.
Yeah, well, look, if he's gonna die, if you're gonna kill him off, kill him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is the fourth time across. Well, actually, you know, you could probably include him being shot or pretending to be shot last episode. So five times.
Yeah, you know, but it's also that, you know, it's after a while it just starts to grate on people's nerves. I was watching it with my girlfriend, and she's like, I really hate Rory. And I'm like, that sucks, because he had so many good lines last season.
Well, he's look, at the beginning of this episode, he was absolutely beautiful. Brilliant performance. Like, him being able to slip through that intoxicated performance of being addicted to the siren, and then switch from that to typical Rory.
Yeah.
It's a sign of a pretty good actor. I mean, he's a really good actor.
I think he's an amazing actor, and he's not being given anything.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, this whole thing about him dying all the time is just it takes away from his potential, you know. Now, there's one thing I do want to point out about that. Now, if you remember this time last year, we got to Episode 3, Season 5. It was Victory of the Daleks. And I was complaining about the same damn thing. Amy reviving someone who was dying.
Yeah.
In that case, it was...
the robot.
It was the robot dude.
Android.
Whose name is escaping me at the moment. Put a brilliant performance in there. And then here we are now in this particular scenario, same thing. So it's possible that interaction between Amy and Rory at the end, there may be some foreshadowing there. There might be something related to the last season and what's coming up in this season that Moffat had reason to include that. I really thought it was unnecessary. It was unneeded.
Yeah, you could have taken that part out, but then...
Absolutely.
I felt like they didn't have anything left to throw.
Oh, you know what, dude? They did. They threw something out, and I'm going to tell you what it was. The missing pirate. And this will take a little bit for me to explain, but Avery's second in command, right?
Yeah.
He, the last time we see him, Avery's son nicks him with the cutlass and he gets the black spot on his hand, and he was going to leave, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as he realized he couldn't go out, he started boarding it up again, and he was in that little room with Amy, Rory, and the kid, right?
What's happening?
You little swabber.
Congratulations, made it to the menu. We shouldn't go out there now.
Scurvy ape!
Don't shoot, the powder will blow and kill us all.
Mulligan, what are you doing?
That was the last we saw of him.
He disappears.
He disappears. We didn't see him. Now, obviously, the viewer is meant to assume that the siren's taken him because we see him at the end of the episode when they're flying through space and all that stuff. But, you know, I would have rather seen a little 2-second, 5-second clip of him being caught by the siren in the episode and the whole thing with Rory taken out. I would have taken a 40-minute episode with that included and Rory's death taken out.
It was just an unnecessary, like, this is the dramatic moment. And I'm like, no, you don't have a dramatic moment here. It's okay. Enhance the story.
Yeah, it doesn't. You know, he's a companion. He's not Kenny.
Give some lines to the pirates who now, are now like shooting through space in a spaceship.
You know, and
that's way cooler than.
See, the other thing is like the thing that really bugs me is that Rory's character development from the beginning of series 5 up until this point has, you know, if you're a fan and you rewatch the episodes over again, it's very noticeable that his character develops, and this diminishes that. This takes away from that. And it really,
he's a weakling again.
Yeah, you know, it really, really annoys me.
I mean, aside from that, I just, there wasn't a whole lot tying back into the overreaching plot.
There was, I thought.
Not enough.
Well, you know what? And this is the other thing, and this is what I was predicting, that this would be mediocre at best. Is we had 2 weeks of, you know, this amazing, epic, opening two-part thing created by Stephen Moffat that made us all have a brain explosion, and, you know, now we're dancing around on a pirate ship.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we'd gotten so much of the overarching plot in the first two episodes, it feels like there's not enough there. But there is some in there. And, you know, the most noticeable one, the most explicit one that was there was the return of the eye patch lady looking through the hatch.
Okay, yeah, they did see that, which has still not really been explained.
No, it's not explained, but I have some theories about this stuff. And I think it really ties into why this is episode 3. See, originally, Curse of the Black Spot was meant to be in the second half of this season.
Yeah.
And they moved it to episode 3, and everyone was kind of like, why? You know, what's the big deal about moving that to episode 3? Well, I think it's because Moffat's put in, the Moffat's put in a lot of clues as to what's going on with this particular season. And it has to do with the fact that, they were in this temporal weirdness with two ships in the one place.
Yeah.
At a cross-section of two different universes. And, I put up a post, and I'm going to read this out to you because, I needed to write it down. So I'm going to read to you what I thought I think it's teeing into. Two different parts of space and time from two different universes that's touched. And I'm beginning to think now that the Doctor creating Big Bang 2 not only restored the universe, but created two simultaneous universes living within and alongside each other, very much like when a human cell splits, it splits into two cells.
Yeah.
And that's what we're dealing with Series 6. The alien ship from one universe being within alongside the pirate ship from the other universe in The Curse of the Black Spot is one sign of this. The TARDIS scanner alternating between Amy pregnant and not pregnant is another sign of this, as is Madame Kavarian appearing only to Amy Pond thus far. Amy's perception of this character is an indication that Miss Pond herself is the mirror reflection between the two Amy Ponds in two different universes alongside each other.
Amelia Pond and Amy Pond.
Yeah.
It's fine. You're doing fine. Just stay calm.
And so I'm guessing in the long run, this is what it comes down to. Whoever wanted the Doctor in the Pandorica also wanted someone else to pilot the TARDIS and make it explode, prompting what they also wanted, the Doctor to attempt Big Bang 2 to restore the universe, but the end result was not one, but a temporal rift connecting two universes, two timelines, two spaces, together but apart, somewhat symbiotic. And that is where I think everything's going to answer questions to how the Doctor remains dead.
Yeah.
So... That's just some
thoughts. It's an interesting group of theories.
I don't know if it's going to... I mean, I could be talking nonsense.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes a show brilliant.
Yeah, but, I could be
talking... Well, even the nonsense seems wonderful.
Yeah, but I could be absolutely wrong. But it fits with what we've seen so far. So, I mean, just like the Doctor saying, ignore all my theories up to this point.
Yeah.
I might be repeating that phrase somewhere down the line.
Like, favorite line definitely happened at the beginning, which is becoming kind of a mainstay of the favorite lines, which was he starts it out and says, yo-ho.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
They don't actually say that.
My favorite bit was the alien sneeze. I thought that kind of harkened back to like the vomit scene in Beast Below. It was kind of, it was kind of nice. It's almost like the way he wipes it on Amy's sleeve is very Tom Baker too. It's just you could picture Tom Baker doing something along those lines.
And I also like the way that they sort of explained the myth of the siren as they did, because. Reasonably speaking, they did make stories about this, and I thought that they had a pretty good explanation as to why.
I love the way they took the historic figure of Captain Avery and explained how he freaking disappeared from human history.
Yeah,
because he disappeared. The Brits were trying to chase him down for treasure that he'd stolen from India, and he went on the run, and nobody saw him ever again. Ever. And so this kind of explains why not only did he fly off into space, but he flew off into space in another fucking universe. So
yeah, I mean that is pretty good. I didn't even really pick up on that, but overall I think it just felt too much like a filler episode, and I see what you're saying. They repositioned this episode and stuck in a bunch of clues, but if you can do that, then it must mean that it's a filler episode,
in a show like this, you have to have filler episodes. You have to have at least a couple in a season because you need something with some flexibility to throw in some aspects of the overarching story arc to help things flow along, but also to give a different perspective of characters as well. That, you know, it's needed. But the problem with this was it was so poorly edited, and I mean the pacing was just awful. That, you know, I mean, it started out really good. I mean, it was like pace, nice. And then all of a sudden it went stagnant and there were questions. Well, what happened to that fucking pirate? Where's he gone?
Yeah.
And then, you know,
you think that's just a slip. Or just a, we don't need this. It's not a big deal.
Poor editing, mate. Poor editing slip. Ugh. The director of this episode is Jeremy Webb, you know, I think he is slated to be the director for the season finale. So I hope he brings up his game for that episode, because I didn't really enjoy this as much as what I usually enjoy Doctor Who. Now bear in mind, I'm not, you know, Tom and I are not saying, like fans out there, we're not bitching and saying we hate this episode of Doctor Who. We love Doctor Who.
No, I like this episode.
You know, we do like it. It's
better than anything else out there. But I'm just saying that in terms of if we scale it to the previous two, wasn't as good. But well, if we scale it to the next one, it's probably not going to be as good.
I would tie this with Victory of the Daleks.
Yeah.
I don't think it's worse than that. I think it's on the same level. I don't think it was better than that either.
I think it was a little bit better.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm putting it at that level. I mean, you know, someone was talking about this over at Gallifrey Base. They went back and had a look at all the episode threes from the previous seasons, and some of the ones from, you know, like David Tennant years were really good. Like, you know, School Reunion. With Elizabeth Sladen, rest in peace. One of the best episodes of that particular Tennant season. So it's not like these guys are not capable of coming up with a good episode to, you know, put into the third position of the season. It's just, you know, I thought this was, you know, compared to previous efforts, you know, relatively a poor effort and could have been much better.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much all I have to say about that. I mean,
I do have something else that kind of bugged me, and this is like an in-universe fan-wank kind of deal. But I thought the Sonic didn't work on wood.
Yeah, I did too, and that was very strange. I did notice that.
Has he got an upgrade since the shark bitten in half, maybe, or...?
Man, they just dropped the ball on this, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, if he's got an upgrade since it broke in half, I mean... I suppose, you know, and then in the previous episode, he was using it as a weapon against the Silence, which is, he's never really done that before.
And I think he was just bullshitting. I think it was just like...
Well, you know, the way I kind of explained it off is like, Sonic means sound, right? So what's the best thing to destroy Silence? Sound. It makes sense. You know, he's neutralizing the Silence.
I thought he was just kind of like doing it for bravado. And
he could have been, you know, it could have just been...
You know, he's...
He's stupid.
That's what I interpreted it as. Because they even acknowledge it.
Don't let them build the full car!
I know! There's a reason why I'm shooting, honey! What are you doing?
Helping!
You've got a screwdriver! Go build a cabinet!
That's really rude!
Shut up and drive!
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? You've got a screwdriver.
Yeah. The other thing I like from this episode that must be mentioned is, of course, Amy Pond in pirate gear.
Yeah,
very
that was
good.
Odd.
You know, that was very nice. and you know, but that was really. That was really it. Classic Doctor Who recommendation for this week, based off the theme of being on the ocean. I'm going to recommend it's a long classic Doctor series called The Chase. It's from the William Hartnell era. And the only reason I'm recommending this is because one of the episodes sees them on the Mary Celeste. And part of the whole premise of the episode is that The Chase is when we first discover that the Daleks have invented their own time machine. It's the first time we find out that they're capable of time travel. And so they're chasing the Doctor, trying to get revenge on him, basically. And at one point, so the whole idea is the Doctor's traveling through time, trying to evade the Daleks, trying to jump into random points in history, but the Daleks keep tracking him. So he ends up on the Mary Celeste, which is the mystery of the ship that disappeared, or rather the ship was found and the crew were no longer on it. And so it kind of relates to, being in the middle of the ocean. But I think that episode from 1965 dealt with, the whole aspect of being on a ship with much more humor and better writing than what this episode did. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Doctor Who, The Pirate Planet, with a Tom Baker classic and part of the Key to Time. What was it, a nine-part series?
Yeah, it was the whole season. It was the whole season was that. I love that episode. That's really good. Good choice.
They end up, putting the TARDIS, which has some trouble, getting to the right time. They make the right time, they just end up on the wrong planet. If memory serves me, they end up in the middle of a potential battle, and they're on the wrong planet. Greg, if you go ahead and take over. It's been a while since I saw it. I just remember I liked it. It was pirate related.
Well, I don't remember the whole plot, but basically the Doctor and Romana, the first Romana, played by Mary Tam, who was absolutely lovely in this episode. They're searching for parts of the Key to Time, and I think the most important thing about that episode that I can remember is that it was the first contribution to Doctor Who by Douglas Adams.
Yeah,
he wrote the episode, and so there's quite a lot of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy hints and tips and relations in there, particularly with the bad guy. He's like half robot. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, if you watch it, I mean, it doesn't really stand up to the test of time. There's a lot of stuff in there that is kind of lame, special effects wise and everything. But the writing is very, very strong. And I think the newer fans would really enjoy some of the humor in that episode. Very, very.
It's got a K-9 in it, too.
Is K-9 in that series?
Oh, K-9's in this one. He is definitely in.
Look at that.
Master?
You're a good dog, K-9. A good dog? You're a hero.
Congratulations are unnecessary, Master.
Isn't that marvelous?
Well, it's certainly a relief, but how are we going to get out of here?
I've got a job for you two.
So he was in a lot of stuff with Romana, too. So
speaking of
Romana and theories related to Romana, some of the theories that have been floating around on the web about the next episode, which we'll talk about in just a sec, is that the next episode will feature the return of Romana. And when Romana was last seen in the television series, she was left in E-Space, which has a green hue to it. And the planet that the Doctor ends up on has a huge green hue to it. So there's a lot of fans getting very excited about that. And they're hoping that the character of Idris, who is hinted at being the Doctor's wife, could turn out to be Romana. There's a lot of fun coming up in the next episode. I got to say... even without the Next Time trailer, which was very vague, I'm looking very much forward to the next episode. More so,
me too,
than what I was this one. Obviously, Neil Gaiman.
It's a Neil Gaiman episode. There's Time Lords. There's brilliant acting. There's brilliant words being put into the actor's mouth. Rory will not almost die. He'll actually have some character. Mm-hmm. If we've heard it from Gaiman. So.
Yeah. Well, exactly. He was ecstatic that he got to play with Rory when rewriting the script. So I'm looking forward to his interactions that he has between Rory and Amy in this. Incidentally, though, the one thing I did like about this episode we just watched was at the very end when the two of them were walking up the stairs to their beds and they're saying goodnight to the Doctor and all that. There's this nice married couple vibe. They're pulling it off really well. like this is the first time we've seen a married couple in the TARDIS, and they're pulling it off so well in the context of this show.
They had to go sleep. I like that the TARDIS has bedrooms, bathrooms, kitchens, and swimming pools again. I missed that. Having watched all of the like so many of the older episodes where they only ever show the one room usually, but there's so much more to the TARDIS. And you never hear anything about it post revamp. And it was nice for them to say, go to your room and go to sleep.
You just reminded me of a classic Tom Baker episode. You've probably seen this, but it's the one where they introduce the secondary TARDIS console.
Oh, this looks good.
What? Oh, yes. Yes, it is good. You know, this is the second control room. You know, I can run the TARDIS just as easily from here as I could from the old one. Come to think of it, this was the old one.
That looks like a shaving mirror.
Yes, it is.
It's like it looks something out of Jules Verne or, you know, something along those lines. It's nice looking TARDIS console. But the sequence where Tom Baker and Elizabeth Sladen are walking from the old, what we know as the regular TARDIS console to the old one, they're walking through different areas of the TARDIS, which is just hallways with dressings, you know, that they've put up.
Yeah.
And they walk past a room and Sarah Jane's like, "What's that?" And it's like this big living room with like a lovely painting in the distance, and there's some Ugg boots and wellies in the doorway. And and Sarah Jane says, "What's this room?" "Oh, that's my boot closet."
Oh, man.
So it's even got a boot cupboard somewhere in there, which may or may not have a painting. So anyway, so yes. Next week, Neil Gaiman. And, of course, some of the things that we're looking forward to seeing, the Ood. We get to see an Ood. We get to find out what this business is about Time Lords. We get to see the Time Lord Cube, which we have not seen since the War Games with Patrick Troughton. It's kind of like a communication device for the Time Lords. And you see it in the trailer where the Doctor says, "Oh, I've got mail." And of course, we get to see a lot of other things going on in this trailer, including we get to see, as far as I know, Dr. 9 and Dr. 10's TARDIS console in this with Amy and Rory in it. So, should be interesting.
Well, I'm psyched. I can't wait.
Should be good. And that's about all I got. So, just in summary, Curse of the Black Spot, worth a watch. Don't rewatch it though; it's really not worth it. There's better episodes that Matt Smith and Stephen the Matt Smith and Stephen Moffat team have done, and I think we're going to find that the next episode, coupled with the writing talents of Neil Gaiman, will be much better and worth looking forward to. As a matter of fact, there's a few links out on the web with that are purported to be spoiler-free previews of The Doctor's Wife, and I'll put them in the show notes for you guys to check out and look at and debate over. And of course, as always, if you have any thoughts or if you disagree with us or agree with what we're talking about with this particular episode or our theories or anything to do with Doctor Who at all, feel free to comment, and you will catch us here next week for another edition of TARDIS Blend right here at geeksofdoom.com. Tom, thanks again, mate.
Hey, thanks, Sam. It's a good episode.
Absolutely. And we'll see you next week. Dilly Gaff. Coming to you from Oklahoma in a house where my air conditioner is broken on a 100-degree day and the light is striking in the distance. I had to get that off my chest.
Yeah, that hurts me, man.
That's rough.